Bobby Marks joins us now, former Nets GM and contributor to Yahoo, assistant GM and contributor to Yahoo's The Vertical. Good to chat with you again. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. It's been the last 24 hours has been a lot of Raptors free agency and Bismack Biyombo news. The debate is, I mean, obviously he wants to be back. Obviously, this was a tremendous opportunity and a tremendous fit for Bismack Biyombo, especially in the postseason. I guess the question is, what's the market out there and what is a hometown discount? How much realistically, how much room would the Raptors even have here?
Well, a hometown discount, it's going to be tough. You know, you have to also look at he's never really made much money in his career, you know, from an NBA aspect. I think the most he's made is $14 million over the course of his, you know, 5 years in the league and everything. And that's kind of where his number is going to be staring at, you know, in that $12 to $14 million range, which probably none of us would ever have thought that that's where it would be. But you have his strong play. You know, he had a good year besides the playoffs, really coming on the national stage, unrestricted, 23. You know, there's a bunch of restricted guys out there on a free agent market that teams won't go after. But it's going to be a challenge for Toronto. It's going to be very similar to Charlotte with Jeremy Lin as far as from that aspect, as far as trying to fit him in, just kind of where the Raptors are going to go. And it's if they are going to bring him back, it's going to come at the expense of somebody else. Is it going to be at the expense of a Terrence Ross or a Corey Joseph or a Patrick Patterson? It might be.
So does it even surprise you that Bismack Biyombo mentions the word hometown discount? Because again, we know we like it here, but when we see guys leaving money on the table, it's generally older guys chasing rings. Biz is 23. He's a former first round pick, seventh overall. He just had a career season and he gets to cash in. It would be, I mean, he's not cashing in, right?
No, I don't think so. And I think when he sits down with his agent and they lay out everything as far as where the Raptors are from a cap standpoint, where other teams are, you know, needs of teams, is it a Dallas, a Portland, some of those teams that might need a center, I think his eyes might grow a little bit wider here and everything.
Yeah.
So I think, especially coming off, you know, you're 2 days removed from, you know, losing in a game six, I think if you're a Raptor fan, that's certainly something you want to hear, of course, that he wants to be there for the long haul. And but it's going to be a challenge. And the DeRozan contract really doesn't have much of an impact as far as with what, you know, Toronto does with Bismack, just because the Mars cap hold is low. It's at 15. He'll probably make about 10 more million than on that. So it's just a lot of the guaranteed contracts we have right now. The interesting aspect, and we haven't really talked about it, is, and I'm all for what Toronto did with Jonas and Terrence with their extension, is if they hadn't let them their cap hold stay on the books, you know, go into the summer and then sign them to a long-term deal, then you might have had that flexibility going forward.
Like Masai yesterday, it was kind of, he reiterated, like, you know, you don't know what you're going to do, but you want to get better. You need to get better. They just went to game six of the Eastern Conference Final. It was a big step, not only for wins and losses, but I think how the basketball world views the market and the culture. That said, would it surprise you if Masai did something surprising this offseason where we see some bodies moved out? Do you sacrifice culture and continuity with, now, like, this just makes us a better team on paper sometimes?
Well, the one thing, you know, especially when you have that taste and you're 2 games, you know, away from being in the finals, is that you don't want to take that step back and kind of be where you were maybe 2 or 3 years ago and everything. They have the assets to do it. You know, it's going to be similar to where they were at the trade deadline when you've got the ninth pick in the draft, you've got a late first round, you've got a pick from the Clippers, you know, coming next year possibly. You've got, you know, a couple of appealing contracts and everything. So, you know, what they do, besides their own free agency, a lot will be determined the night of the draft. If some of those pieces get moved for a player that's under contract, you know, that could be a direction they go in. But from a cap standpoint, you know, you're going to have to figure out your own guys before really you'll have anything, you know, left to play with on the open market.
So do you view it, Bobby, as a fait accompli that DeRozan is back at the predictable number? He says, I know there's Lakers speculation, but I'm of the mind that he wants to be back. The only thing holding it up to me is, does Masai have bigger plans? Does deep down, does he think he can get a sit down with another max player? And does that complicate things?
Well, I think if you're asking DeMar, I think what he already knows is a lot better than sometimes the unknown. And I think it's so much easier for players that when you're under contract, that a team can actively in-house recruit him compared to going down, you know, going to sit with the Lakers for a four-hour meeting July 1st and them trying to pitch you on hope when you already know, you know, you're where you were with this team. If they come back, where this team's going to go and everything. I think with Masai, I don't think, you know, you're going to give up your cards and come out right away and say, you know what, DeMar's a max guy and we've got a, you know, a four-year, $100 million offer on the table. I don't think you kind of show your hand right off the bat because, you know, the market will be unpredictable come July 1 and everything.
I do want to talk about Kevin Durant, but, you know, there is speculation that a one-year deal there would work for obvious reasons. Does DeMar have more to risk, or could you foresee an instance where he also would go that route?
He could. You know, it's a little bit different with Kevin and, you know, DeMar, because with Kevin's year is a service, the big, you know, what's in question right now. He'll go into July with 9 years of service. He's a tier two max. In order to get to that tier three max, you've got to have 10 years of service. So that's the big talk about going the 1 year route with Durant and everything. I just get nervous with some of these guys. If someone's going to give you a golden ticket of 4 years, $100 million, or 5 years, $130 million, and to kind of turn that down and go the 1 year route, knowing that maybe there's a greater pot of gold down the road, that just scares the heck out of me with injuries. You know, we also have to remember, we don't know what the collective bargaining agreement is going to be next year. You know, both sides will probably opt out this December, and we might see a total set of different rules next July.
So game seven last night, Golden State and OKC. It was an all-time series. It was an all-time classic. Game six was fantastic. Game seven was right there with it. I have a hard time. Like, I know they blew a 3-1 series lead, but OKC to me, like, and Billy Donovan said it last night, they were right there. Whether it was, you know, up 3-1 at the time, or, you know, going back and forth game in and game out. Golden State went out and took this. Did you see that, or did you see a bit of a choke job, for lack of a better term, in OKC?
No, I agree with you. I think I would have had a harder time from an Oklahoma City perspective if they were up 3-1 and games 5 and 7 were in your own building and you had two opportunities to close it out. Then we'll probably look at it a lot differently. But, you know, they had, you know, you go back to Oakland for game 5 and then, you know, they win that game in Oklahoma City. And, you know, they're two players with Curry and Thompson. It's demoralizing. You know, what they can do and how no lead is unsafe, and their ability from a three-point perspective really to keep you in games and really blow open games and everything. And when you have those two guys on the court, you know, you've got as good as a chance as any team out there.
KD said last night, he said, like, we beat them everywhere except the three-point line, and that's what Golden State does. Demoralizing is the right word, especially game six. Like, last night was whatever. But game six, if I'm on OKC, like, they had them. They had them, and they didn't screw themselves over. Golden State just made this whole rash of unmakeable shots in a row. Like, there's nothing more you can do if you're OKC in that situation.
No, you can't. And, you know, Clay, you know, really saved their bacon, you know, in game six down there. And, you know, I look at the shot he made when they were down 89-81 when he hit the top of the key. I don't even know. I think he was like 6 feet behind the arc and everything.
Yeah.
Kind of cut it to 5. And that was like a punch to the face right there. And that really started the snowball effect. And when, you know, and he kept them in the game, and then Curry kind of finished it off. And if it was any other team than Golden State, Oklahoma City would be in the finals right now.
Yeah. When I look at this finals matchup, like, I wonder how much better Golden State is this year compared to last year. Because when I look 365 days ago and I see the same matchup, I think, okay, so LeBron and like nobody, you, me, and JD Bunkus, they went to game six. This year, Cleveland is so much better. Is it enough that they're the better team here?
I think, you know, I'm still in the camp with Golden State as the favorite here, but I give this Cleveland team as good as a fighting chance as they, you know, with Liga Love, you've got Kyrie healthy. Your bench is a little bit better with Channing Frye. You've got Thompson in the lineup now. Dellavedova is back, of course. I think the Toronto series did expose a little bit as far as from on the road, as far as with this Cleveland team. They're not, you know, they can be beat if you play the right way and everything. But, I mean, I give this, I'd say flip a coin right now with this series because it's two heavyweights that's going to go toe-to-toe right now.
OKC fans would be nervous. Kevin Durant's going to be a free agent. Any chance he leaves and does a win or a loss last night swing it either way?
I think the San Antonio series kind of put him, coming back. I think the real only question is what the contract's going to look like. Is it going to be a long-term deal? It's going to be or if it's going to be a short-term deal. I think that's kind of where we're looking at. But, you know, as until that ink is dry on that contract, we just don't know. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing with if Durant does the one-year deal, we could be looking at a historically great free agent class next year with Durant, Westbrook, James, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin. It could be a loaded class there.
Bobby Marks joins us on the Andrew Walker Show. Yeah, who's the vertical former Nets assistant GM as well. All right, so one more on the Raptors, and like we're going to talk about DeMar. We're going to talk about Bismack Biyombo, obviously, this offseason. But what about other targets outside? And Masai pointed a number of times to the power forward position yesterday. How much wiggle room do they have, and who's intriguing to you?
Well, it's going to be tough. You know, I think if you look at Toronto, you know, the two positions is you got to get Damari Carroll healthy. That's a big, and I give him a lot of credit as far as him gutting it out to come back at the end of the year and everything. And then you have to figure out what you want to do at the four. You know, Scola is a free agent, and Patrick's back. So you've got a hole that's open right there. So that's my one concern with the Biyombo signing is if you do gut it, then it does it create some type of domino effect there and everything. So it's going to be challenging because basically you'll probably only have your full mid-level possibly, which is about $5.6 million, and you're almost going to have to take a back seat and wait until the dust settles come mid-July here.